the beloved of the body. We've been looking in things related to the beloved of the body, and I'm going to continue that context. Okay, can you hear me okay? Am I coming in clearly? Okay, thank you. And thank you, Saints, for coming by the Berean Bible study. I may be doing the 6 o'clock study. That was too late for me, and I didn't want to interfere with the Shorewood Bible study meeting. So the fine teaching from Verlinch will be on at 8 o'clock, and it'll be after the Shorewood Bible Church room is closed. Then you come back to this room, and you'll get Don Verlinch's fine teaching. Look for that online, and the Shorewood room at about 7, and probably our brother Verlinch somewhere around 8. So look for that. We've talked about changing times, and that's what's going on now. So let's get right into the study. We've been looking at the beloved of the body of Christ and the scriptural roadmap to the context of the beloved in the body of Christ. Again, you can see that context of the beloved in the, you know, the epistles to the Hebrews and the tribulation epistles to the Hebrews. They are beloved of the tribulation times that is to come. They were the beloved of the churches in Judea during the time God was dealing with the Hebrews first. But now he's dealing with the whole world, Jew and Gentile, through the gospel to the Gentiles given Paul. So we've been looking at the beloved and how you can see that context in the scriptures. And so let's go on and look and see what the scriptures say about that. Let's go to Ephesians. This is part two of the study. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, and now I'm going to read the first 6 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Please read with me if you have your Bible. If someone wants to post, we would definitely appreciate it in here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, that's a wonderful context to start the letter of Ephesians. Now, this whole point is, in verse 1, shows a brand new accord of God. Remember how you read earlier Paul said, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile in Romans? That Romans was written when God was still dealing with the Jew first. In that relation to that, he talks about the context of those things. It is to the body of Christ, but God was still dealing with Israel in their diminished state. That remnant in Israel's diminishment, that remnant of the diminishment, which was the true Israel, was represented by the 12 apostles' ministry and the churches of Judea. They were that was the context of Acts. That will be the context of tribulation. They will be the people God specifically deals with, and they will be the people through whom God will channel his blessing to Gentiles in that dispensation to come during, you know, that tribulation circumstance. But now, notice that this is Paul writing Paul to the saints of Ephesus. Of course, the book of Romans is to the Gentile saints in Rome, Jews and Gentiles in Rome. But the, what I'm showing here is that Ephesus was a place that was predominantly Gentile. And the point about it is it's to the this is one of the first books of that prison epistle group. And it's to the saints which are at Ephesus. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 3 comes in with the what we have, based, you know, what this whole book shows, the blessedness we have in this dispensation of grace. It is all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, you know, there can be some argument about, of course, Calvinists will argue with you on the wording of verse 4. Now notice this. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. A Calvinist would argue on that, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, they would say that we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But I would urge you to look. There is no comma there. No comma there. If there was a comma there, it would be that, you know, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. But since there's no comma there, it makes a specific statement about somebody. So, you know, my wife is a better student of English than I am, and I asked her about this thing, and she could tell me the grammar thing. She had to learn them much better than I did, and she can tell you the grammar things. I just urge you to think that, you know, just to consider and the point that there's no comma there in between him and before the foundation of the world, and that makes a world of difference. It's talking about, to me, I see that as talking about someone who was before the foundation of the world, and we being chosen in him, since there is no comma there. And I would urge you to consider that and probably get with a English person on that particular point, because to me that's, you know, and she agrees with me on that, that the point is that it's talking about Christ being before the foundation of the world, but that's, you know, that's what I see about that. Perhaps we can talk about that later, and someone can shed lights on the perfect grammar of the King James Bible and what it's showing there, but the point is it's Christ who is before the foundation of the world. And he is the one before the foundation of the world. And when we trusted Christ, we're chosen in him. And him being before the foundation of the world. Let's go on here. And it says here, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And that's wonderful. And that point about verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We know that Jesus Christ is the beloved of God. He is the beloved son in whom God was well pleased. You can go back and see in the book of Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And I'll go back to this because, what it's showing is Christ's walk on earth. Now, Christ came to Israel while he walked on earth. And we don't look here for our doctrine. We just look here to learn something about the Lord and what the Bible proclaims about him. And so we look at this dispensationally, understanding that, and we learn something from this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And it says here, in verse 16 and 17, it says here, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So in this context, Jesus is the beloved, and God has made us accepted in the beloved. We could go on with the wonderful context here, but the whole point of it is in Ephesians you see that wonderful full flowering of all the things that Paul talked about in the pre-prison epistle. You see that full flowering of the God's word and the glory of God's grace toward us in those letters, in these Ephesians and the Philippians and Colossians and the, you know, especially those in the pastoral epistles and the Philemon. You see these, the glorious full flowering of what we have in the dispensation of grace coming to fore through these writings here. Things that we got glimpses of that, you know, Paul says in the earlier book, he says, well, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. We get the glorious full vision of the power of God towards us, scriptural, this insight of that power toward us in these books, starting with Ephesians, the prison epistles. And so that whole point about us being blessed beyond abundantly beyond, how does that chapter end saying? It says there, chapter 2, I'm looking for a certain scriptural, the way the Word of God phrases it. Yeah. It talks about him in verse 22 and 23, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And that glorious full flowering of the things to us is brought forth in these books. But that point about us being accepted in the beloved, and the beloved being the Lord Jesus Christ, is brought to bear. He is the beloved of God. I'm sorry, I told you, Bible reader, I should have said Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, how we're the fullness of him. We in the body of Christ. He has made him to be the head over all things to the church. See, it's no churches of Judea. It's the church, the one church and the one body. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And I'm sorry I didn't mention that clearly, brother. And thank you for posting. And we are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. He made us accepted in the beloved. He provided all the things we needed in this dispensation of grace. And that's wonderful. Christ is the beloved of God, and we're accepted in the beloved. So when Paul mentions these things about the beloved, calling the saints the beloved, it stems from this whole relationship we have being in one body. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's keep on in the context. Let's go from verse Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go from, let me see here, excuse me, saints. Okay, let's go from verse 7 to verse 10. Let's go from verses, wait a minute, just a second, before you post those, brother. Before you post those, let's see here. From verses 7 to 10 in relation to that relationship. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, 7 to 10, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It's just glorious about the Word of God, and what just these few verses point to the things that we have in him, that we now, you know, it's in the Pauline epistles that we find out the mystery of his will doesn't only involve an earthly kingdom. It's the Pauline epistles where we find out about this body, which is going to represent God in heaven. It's in the Pauline epistles that we can get the full picture of God's total plan for mankind. You can't get that in the prophetic context. You only get the earthly plan and the promises and things related to the earthly promise. But when you get into Paul's epistles, you get the full picture of God's will. And you know that we now know the mystery of his will, not only involving our earthly inheritance, but one that is in the heavens, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might together in one, that is in Christ, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And we can now know through the Pauline epistles the full picture of God, the mystery of God's total will being just blossomed out to us in these prison epistles. And that's what this is about. They're short, compact letters, but they pack a wallop as big as the whole creation in what they tell us. And each of these things talking about God's glory to us, involving all the things. You think about it. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's not by what we do, not by what we appropriate, not by what we accomplish. It's redemption through his blood, according to the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's his provision, and that you see. I hope you see how the power of the glory of God toward us is mentioned here. And you could just go on throughout this chapter and just see, and it continues on in the other ones, Colossians and Philippians, and the rest of the late epistles. Paul just got that full revelation, and we can know as we are known. We can know the things of God as we are known of God. He lets us know the full picture of himself and his glorious plan for mankind. But it's only through the dispensational will. This is what people are missing who don't rightly divide. And so that's a good reason to rightly divide the word of truth. You get to see God's full picture for not only the earth, but now in the dispensational purpose, the picture for the universe. The universe and the creation of the bounds of creation brought to fore, and our picture in that. I've talked enough. Let's go on to the scriptures. Let's go to Ephesians 3. Let's go to Ephesians 3. And in relation to us having all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, again, that's heavenly places. If somebody was going to ask you and they come up on the street to you and ask you, could you direct me to heavenly places? Which way are you going to tell them? Which way are you going to tell them that is? You're going to tell them, go down the block, turn left, and you go by this street and turn at Baker Street? No. You know where heavenly places is. It's just as simple as that. Heavenly places are above. Heavenly places are in the heavenlies. And so that's where our direction is, both which are on heaven and in earth. In heaven is us, spiritual blessings, heavenly places. Now let's read some more on that, Ephesians 3, 9 and 10. Ephesians 3, 9 and 10. And Paul, look at Paul's accord about these things. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, not in the prophetic plan, not in Peter's plan, but now in the dispensation of grace. And looky here, folks, we could talk volumes about what's being brought to fore in chapter 3. Notice in chapter 3, Paul, verses 1 and 2, Paul's talking about he was given a dispensation of God's grace. A dispensation of the gracious God was given to him for Gentiles. And verse 3 talks about it, that God, you know, he got it by revelation. Nobody taught it to him. He got it by revelation. How that by revelation he, that is God, made known unto me, the mystery, as I wrote before in few words. Jesus Christ let Paul know the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. And notice he wrote of that mystery. That was God's purpose for Paul, to write of the mystery, something that was not known before, to write it down. Verse 4, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. A mystery where that Paul wrote down, and if you want to know the mystery, you got to read what Paul wrote about it. Now, notice verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So in verse 5, it talks about in other ages, this mystery was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. Paul got it. So guess when it was revealed? Not a hard guess, huh? It was given to Paul. So when was it revealed? You don't even have to guess that. It was given to Paul, so that's when the now is now made known. He wrote it down, and we can know about it if we read what he wrote. And he wrote the Holy Scriptures. He wrote the Word of God for us. Colossians 1:25, Paul's purpose, to fulfill the Word of God. 25, and that it tells us that Paul's the purpose of God. That Paul had. So when you read Paul's epistle, contrary to what the popular theology will tell you, contrary to that, Paul wrote the Word of God. He wrote the words of Jesus Christ. And so that's the point about these things. Paul wrote these things. Thank you, brother Bible reader. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. So that's clear. We who rightly divide understand this point. It's not it doesn't need to be brought to bear to us, but for those who don't rightly divide, you ought to, it's a good thing to bring to them, to make this point to them. So it's not made, so this about, it was hid from men and now made known. Notice what verse 9 and 10 shows us. It says, verse 10, you can just go up, scroll up to where our brother Bible reader put it up there, verse 10, to the intent that now, it was a mystery. It talks about in verse 9 it being a mystery, hid in God. Now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So you got these principalities and powers in that direction called heavenly places, and now they get to know about the manifold wisdom of God from whom? From other beings in heavenly places, other beings created from God by God in heavenly places. Do they get to know it from them? No. It's the same circumstance. They are angels, and those powers and principalities in those heavenly places are getting to learn of the glorious victory at the cross and the inheritance gained by that victory through us. Through us trusting the Lord and being saved and walking in a dispensation where God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. The angels and those principalities and powers have never seen the like of a victory in creation like is given us. I have not mentioned a particular scripture, but we could talk on this. On there are several scriptures throughout there how we are made a spectacle under angels, and but this verse here, the verse that we've looked at 9 and 10, shows that those principalities and powers. Ephesians 3, 9, and 10, which you showed earlier, brother Bible reader, those scriptures, verses 9 and 10, they show that it's being made known to those spiritual powers above. By us walking in this context, we are made a spectacle unto those principalities and powers in heavenly places, and we're of that victory program won at the cross. And see that shows the wonderful truth of God, Ephesians 3, 9 and 10, which we started this from. And so they're seeing the victory there, which is being made known unto them. We could go into this and it's quite in depth, but that's a whole nother study. But that's the point about these things, the glorious point of these things. And now we'll go to Ephesians 3:15. Excuse me, before we go there, let me see something here. Okay, yeah, it says here, before we go to 3:15, it says, let's go to verse 14. It says here, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. We are of God's body. We are the beloved of Him that is, we are made accepted in the beloved. We are made accepted in the beloved, Jesus Christ. And of Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we see here in this dispensational purpose of God that the family of God not only includes a earthly kingdom promised to Israel, but a body that is going to go to heavenly places and have principalities and powers and be judge angels and do all of the, you know, and have part in God's government off of the earth, above the earth, inside of creation, above the earth. We'll have a purpose in God. We'll be a body, a part of God's government. We won't be angels. We'll be judging the angels. The 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. You can read about that in Romans. You can read about that in Matthew 19:28. The 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes of Israel, and we, the body of Christ, will judge angels. Paul shows that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul tells the saints here, verse 3. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Paul tells us, "Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" We are going to be a body in heavenly places judging angels. God will have His purpose here for His Israel and on this earth, and how that government goes. Again, Bible reader, that will be 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Thank you. And so we will judge angels. That's okay, brother. You are doing a fine job for the saints, and we all appreciate your fine work. You just keep on keeping on. We need your assistance here. It is greatly appreciated. So we see there that we are a body which will have a purpose in God's government above. And so we learn about the whole family. It's that a whole family that Jesus Christ. We learn more about Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And we learn about Jesus Christ. We learn the mystery of God's will, where it's not only an earthly purpose, but a heavenly purpose. And notice in both those contexts, the heavenly purpose is named first. Like we saw in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, and we saw in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15, it's the heavenly purpose mentioned first, because he's talking to a body that is going heavenward. And, you know, that's something that we need to understand about the purpose of God in this dispensation of grace. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we learn God's purpose today. God's purpose is not like before. And it's not like we'll be in the future. In the past, he dealt with Israel. They rejected his will. Then he put that plan aside. Remember, God, once when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's just that Israel was not ready. It'll take wrath to make them ready for his plan for them. And that's exactly what will happen. He put all that plan for them aside, and he's going to deal them in wrath, where there will be a nation, where there will be become a nation that will be able to be what he wants them to be, and he will enable them at that time. But right now, they rejected the will of God, so God has brought in his hidden purpose, his predestinated purpose, the mystery, which is salvation of the Gentiles in spite of them, without a favorite nation. And now Israel has to come to God through his plan for the Gentiles. That's what dispensation of grace is about. This is what Paul says, fellow heirs, Gentiles being made fellow heirs, no Jew first, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. The mystery is revealed to us, verse 5 and 6. Ephesians 3, verses 5 and 6. Ephesians 3, verse 5 and 6. I'm sorry, Bible reader, if I'm not making it easy for you. Please be patient with me, because I'm slow, too. It's just that I talk fast, but my brain works slow. Ask my wife about that. She can tell you. But we'll work with each other. Let's see here. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So here, Paul is not mentioning any Jew first. There's no Jew first context here. Paul is mentioning Gentiles, fellow heirs, a mystery hid about Gentiles being fellow heirs, now made known. Look at what's going on here. I'm sorry, brother. I wish you had a brick so you could hit me on my proverbial skull here. I shouldn't say proverbial skull. That's the wrong use of English. Shows how much I know about vocabulary. Let's see here. It says here in chapter 4, we're going to get to chapter 4. But here we see that it's fellow heirs. There's no Jew first context. So that's something to understand about the beloved now. We're the beloved of a no Jew first context. We are the beloved of a fellow heirship context. We're the beloved of a body. We're made accepted in the beloved. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's see here. Okay, here we go. Ephesians chapter 4. Uh, Oh, that would be great. I know the saints would appreciate that. Okay, now you see the problems that the posters here have, brother, especially with me. They'll all tell you that I don't make it too easy. I'm sorry about that. Here we go. Let's see here. Let's go through the whole context here. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 4, 4:10. Let's go from 1 to 10. Paul is speaking in this full measure of God's will to us. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He ascended up on high, and he ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And we are, as 1 Ephesians 1:22-23 says, he has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So Jesus went up above all heavens, that far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he made an inheritance to us who are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Our inheritance is in creation. We'll be in God's government in the heavens. Israel will be in God's government on earth. We will be inside of creation, in the heavens of creation, and we will have our ruling area in God's government there, in the heavenly places. So notice the language here does not speak of an earthly a promise to us. It speaks of things above the earth to us. And it gives us a context above the earth. That's the context of the beloved of the body of Christ. And so when you see these things, these are things to take note of. Now, when you see the language here about giving gifts unto men, of course we understand and from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, that has to do with the foundational gifts. And you've heard that explained dispensationally. If you want to talk on it some more, we'll do that after the class. But that's foundational. When the body of Christ was founded, there was a gift ministry going on. And there was a gift ministry in God's order. That is no more. Not necessary, because now we have the Word of God for our direction, and our strength is made perfect in weakness, not in perfect health and healing. Strength in this dispensation is made perfect in weakness. His grace is sufficient, and that's a wonderful lesson for those heavenly principalities and powers to learn that the victory is won over satanic rule of the world, that there is a victorious body that will take those places in heavenly places. but I'll go on. I won't expound on that. We'll continue. So we see a direction here pointed to about the beloved and whom we are made accepted in the beloved. And we see a direction of the scriptures talking about a heavenly inheritance. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3. But before you post it, let me look at it first. Ephesians, I have it here as a note, but let me look and see. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Yeah, Ephesians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in where? Heaven. From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Our conversation. Notice the context, the direction of these epistles. They don't involve an earthly inheritance and things. When God calls us through the scriptures the beloved, and when it mentions Christ, who is the beloved, in whom we are made accepted in the beloved, who is Christ, it mentions him in our heavenly places and us in heavenly places, and the things related to those heavenly places off the earth. For our conversation is, Philippians. I must have said the wrong thing again. My wife just told me I did. Oh, if you only had a brick. Okay, it's Philippians 3:20. I am so sorry. I hope you're able to gain some patience through this. That's Philippians 3:20. You might not need a brick. My wife will just hit me on the head with one. She's got one ready for me. So, Ephesians 3, Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see these contexts of what who God's talking to is not an earthly inheritance people, but a heavenly inheritance people. Now let's go to Colossians 1. And let's read a context from verse 9 to verse 16. I'll tell you what. Let's go from 9 to 20. Look at what Paul is talking here. Look at the context of the direction for the people to whom he's speaking. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he's talking about their love in the spirit. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Oh, we need a lot of patience and long suffering and joyfulness. Thank the Lord for that through the Spirit. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Where is that inheritance that we'll partake in? Where is this inheritance of the saints in light which we'll partake in? It's in glory, of course. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from or of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're not in the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's the context for Israel. But we are in the kingdom of God, of dear Son, We're in the kingdom of God's dear Son, His rule and His authority, and heavenly places is our direction. And let's go on here. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And I think that says a point about the need for reconciling creation, but we'll go on. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Here we see that context of heaven and earth again. And we see that context of what needs to be reconciled. In verse 16, we know that the heavens, in verse 16, you can scroll up to where the brother posted there, and you can see, it says here that all things were, by Him all things were created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. You know, the heavenly host was created for Him. But you know that a third of that heavenly host went to Satan's plan. So that needs to be reconciled. Things above need to be reconciled, for they were created for Him. Earth and all the creatures on earth in the world were created for Him, for the God's glory. But we know that Satan and his plan also made that something that needs to be reconciled. So all these things that were created for Him, both in heaven and earth, there needs to be a reconciliation. God talks about the reconciliation of the earth being in a plan for Israel. But now we know what will be reconciled in those heavenly places. We can see in Daniel where the angel had to get to Daniel, but it took him 21 days because he had to fight with another spiritual being called a prince of Persia. And when he got through with that, finally got through to give Daniel the word, he had to go back and fight. And help and go with Michael and fight, and then they would meet the prince of you can read about it. There was a prince of Persia, and the prince of Grecia would come, and so there are angelic authorities that are related to earthly places. Grecia, the prince of Persia, and spiritual realms and the heavenly places that are causing disruption in God's design. And there's a battle goes on, intense battle between that, as we could see in Daniel. There's something that needs to be reconciled there. To give you that context, I think it's in Daniel chapter 9 you hear about those things. Okay? I don't see a Pal Talk person here. I wish I could red dot that, but that's part of the Pal Talk system, Bible reader. They put up these advertisements. okay. And so we have a creation that needs to be reconciled, because this whole creation was created for, by Him and for Him. So that's why God has to, He's going to reconcile the heavenly with an inheriting body. A body. We will be of that inheritance that goes to heavenly places. And He lets us know the fullness of the mystery of His will. We know that there's a reconciling in heavenly places now. And it's through the blood of His cross. Not only is there one on earth for Israel, promised to them that He will carry out in the future, But right now, he's working on fulfilling the body, which is the fullness of him that filleth all in all, to be part of his heavenly reconciling of the creation. And we are a part in that. Wow, that's just wonderfully magnificent. That's where we are being the accepted in the beloved, who is Jesus Christ. That's what our part in God's creation is. And so, we, in this context, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. Again, our direction and the context of things to us. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's where we are to wait. That's what we are delivered from. See, Israel is appointed to wrath. They're so appointed to wrath that God calls that tribulation time the time of Jacob's trouble. Because, you know, way back then, God knew that they'd reject him. That wrath is set aside for Israel, and that will be a great and fiery trial that they will have to go through for as a nation to in order to be purged and to be set for that which God has promised for them. They're not being dealt with now, but that wrath is for them to be set aside as the kingdom on earth people. But we are not for that. We are waiting for his Son from heaven. So where are you waiting for? Are you waiting looking to things on earth? Is your context to look at the things on earth? No, it says we are waiting for his Son from heaven. Therefore, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are on earth. Does that say that? Now, let me read this for you again. Go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and I'll read the first verse. See if you can help them out there, Bible reader. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And we'll look at the first verse. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are on earth. Does it say that? Does it say that, folks? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are on earth. Does it say that? Bible reader's helping you out there. Does it say, seek those things which are on earth. Look for things that earthly kingdom on earth. Does it say that in that first verse? You know I'm lying to you. You can't trust me. It says, here now we can trust the word of God. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ set us on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is what? Is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him on earth? No. We're setting our affection on things above. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, ye shall also appear with him in glory. According to those scriptures, where is glory? According to those scriptures, where is glory? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Where is the glory that we're to set our affection for? There is the glory is above. It's in, we're to set our affections on things above, and therefore we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1:10, and we see this context. We are to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. How does this deliverance take place? An event that is the end of this dispensation and the start of, and that will be, after, excuse me, an event that is the end of this dispensation. When the body is full up, here's what will happen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just read verses 16, 17, and 18. For the Lord himself shall descend. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord in above, in the air, in the and caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, above, caught up. You notice the direction there? That's why you're not to set your affection on things on the earth. We don't have an earthly inheritance. We have spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's where our direction is, who are of the body of Christ. And that's where the will of God for us is to be. That's where our inheritance is. We'll have government there with God. And amen, the blessed hope. Amen, Bible reader. So therefore, we can say along with Paul in 2 Timothy 4:18. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Let me see. Before you post it, here it is. 2 Timothy 4:18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's not the kingdom of heaven on earth that he promised Israel, but it's the heavenly kingdom. That direction above. When he appears, we shall also appear with him in glory. We're translated into the kingdom of his dear son. We're of that reconciling of heavenly places. And folks, that's the direction of God for the body of Christ. And there are many who don't understand the will of God today. And the will of God is basically this, that if you want to get into God's purpose, which is the body of Christ, and it's the only thing God is accepting now, is the death of his son for us as the means of salvation. Religion won't save you. Trying to give tithes to buy your way into heaven ain't going to save you. We're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. We're in a dispensation of grace. Ephesians 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. And God right now is saving people in relation to his will in the dispensation of grace. So if we want to be in his will, there's only one way, is to trust the gospel of his grace. That gospel of his grace is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and risen again the third day according to the scriptures. You want to find the gospel that God gave Paul the priest that saves people today? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul says here, the gospel that saves anyone who will believe it. Water baptism won't save you. Doing works won't save you. And you can only be saved by believing that the statement of this gospel, of God's grace. Here it is in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Anything else is vain belief. Any works you do is vain. Here is the gospel of salvation. First Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, That puts you in God's purpose of what's happening now. Believe this gospel, and you'll have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, and you'll be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm finished with the study, and thank you, saints, for coming by, and thank you for the time here to share with you. And